All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to How Success Thinks. This is our post-Thanksgiving class. All right, so we have a lot to be grateful for, and it's great to see all of you here tonight. We have a lot of fun in store. The topic is creativity. But first, a story. So they were doing construction. They were doing construction in the town, and you know when you dig underground, what happens? What happens when you dig? What else? What else? What else? When there's construction going on in a city, what shows up in people's houses?
Rats.
Rats and mice, right? Sometimes?
Right.
Yes?
Yes?
We've heard of this? Yes? Okay. So, there was a mice infestation in the town because of all the construction. And one day, the priest, the minister, and the rabbi are schmoozing in the park. I cannot vouch for the authenticity of the story, but bear with me. So the priest, the minister, and the rabbi are in the park, and they're all discussing the recent mouse infestation. And the priest says, it's been crazy. So we put out mouse traps throughout the church. But these mice, they're incredible. They're so sneaky. They run up to the traps, they grab the cheese, and they run off, unscathed. And the minister says, we've had the same issue. We put out poison. The mice walk over, sniff the poison, and run the other way. They don't eat the poison, they're still running around. The rabbi says, we took care of it. We had a board meeting. And we voted the mice in as members. We haven't seen them since. I think we'll close with that joke. So oftentimes, in order to succeed, if you have a goal, in order to succeed, sometimes you have to get creative. You could put out a mousetrap or poison, but invite them to a board meeting. That may work so much better. So oftentimes, if you think outside the box, you can actually get what you need done much more effectively. So when speaking of the concept of success, which is about attaining your goals. So it's one thing to know what the goals are. That was lesson one. It's another thing to adopt a success mindset. That was lesson two. Tonight we speak about how to think creatively. Especially when needing to overcome obstacles on the road to success, you need to be able to think sometimes outside the box differently than perhaps you've thought before. So this will be our third step to success and the third session. Along the way, in tonight's lesson, we're going to discuss what it means to be creative, who has the capacity to be creative, and we'll offer practical tools for unleashing your inner reservoir of creativity. We're also going to have a very special creative workshop. If you notice around the room, there are these easels. We're going to be joining together different groups and working on a very special creative workshop, all happening tonight in the next 85 minutes. All right, so let's begin. I want you to work with somebody next to you. It could be either two people or three people, maybe per table. Write down, create a list of the five most successful products or ideas of the last 25 years. So discuss amongst yourselves the five most, don't worry, it's not a definitive list, come up with the best. Five most successful products or ideas of the last 25 years. I'll give you 90 seconds. Top five most successful products and ideas in the last quarter century. Nice. you guys finish early, there'll be more work to do. Joking. 30 seconds left. Get the top 5 products or ideas. Okay, good. At this point, let's take some responses. Top 5 most successful products or ideas of the last 25 years.
Quantum theory,
good.
iPhone. Apple computers.
Fitbit, good.
Febreze.
Febreze, good call. Crowdsourcing, good.
Facebook.
Smart boards. What else? String theory. Amazon. The jungle or the website?
Mobile phones.
It's been around longer. Huh?
Mobile phones.
Good.
GPS.
Kindle. Good. GPS.
Plasticity model of the brain.
Good. We spoke about that last week a little bit. Facebook. Technology. We have medicine, physics, technology. A lot of technology. The juice box, that's critical. That's really cool. I didn't even think of that. Juice box is brilliant. But you know what the fatal flaw with the juice box is? The kid sticks the straw in, picks it up, and it's all over them.
You know, I had a little box for it, a little plastic box, so they couldn't squeeze it. It didn't go all over the car.
But then they changed the shape of the juice box.
Well, now they have the squeeze it. But you know, the juice box... I don't know if anybody's ever noticed this. I know we're off on a tangent now, but it's worth it. It's juice boxes. You can take a juice box, a normal standard juice box. It has those little wings on it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And everyone wonders like, what it's for? Those are handles. This is brilliant. That may be the most creative innovation, the most successful innovation. Okay, good. Successful stuff. What do you guys have back there?
Plastic water bottle.
Good. The environment may disagree. Yeah, we don't know if that's... You already said it? Good. You guys?
How about the portable
photography?
Digital photography, defibrillator. Remember before digital photography?
Sure.
You had to actually pay for stuff before you saw what happened. You'd send it in and be like, surprise, oh, half of them were messed up. I remember that. Do you remember the rotary phone? And you would like shake with trepidation if somebody had a 0 in their number. 0, that's the worst. I'll see you next week. I got all the way around a bunch of times. Remember that? I grew up with a rotary phone. We were one of the holdouts in growing up in Pittsburgh. We had a rotary phone. The telephone company said, you can't have it anymore. We don't work with Pulse anymore. We're like, well, we do. They're like, well, yeah, it's not going to work.
Don't you say dial now? I still say
dial. Oh, is that what? Yeah. They, you know, the kids today, they just Snapchat. They don't even dial. There's nothing. Bluetooth, good. Voicemail.
Voice command.
Voice recognition. Kickstarter. You said crowdsourcing, crowdfunding, right? Leveraging the power of the people. Good. Now I want you to do one more exercise, okay? 60 seconds. It's a quick one. Similar lines. The most successful products or ideas that moved humanity forward... Progress throughout history. So forget 25 years. Biggest, most just amazing, successful ideas or products that moved human progress forward since the beginning of history. 60 seconds, work together. Five. Yeah, five. Five of these. Okay, 35 seconds. We got to do this quick.
Sailing ships.
All right, 10 seconds, and then we're going to pick it up together. Okay, Let's take some ideas. Most successful products or ideas in moving humanity forward.
Sewer system. First advance in human health in recorded history.
I like it. Good for the Romans. They destroyed the temple. Bad for the Romans. So it's a mixed bag with those Romans.
It is.
I'm just saying. Good, but they gave us the sewers. Yes.
Fire.
Good. We're not shouting fire in a crowded synagogue. That's not happening. When I said fire, it wasn't that. Good. Fire. Steel. Pittsburgh. There you go. Steelers. It's my team. Good. You get extra credit on this in this course. We don't give credit. Doesn't matter. You get extra of that. Yeah.
Airplane.
Good. What else?
Antibiotics.
Vaccines. Oh, that's huge.
Pirates.
That's like pirates. Hey, someone had to take all the stuff from the ships and think about it. Let's focus on vaccines for a second. How many lives have been saved with vaccines? I mean, it's incredible.
In 1900, 54% of the population died of infectious disease, and from 2000 to 2014, only 5% of the population worldwide died of infectious disease.
Unbelievable.
That's a pretty amazing stat. Okay, good. What else? Any other innovation? Any other successful things? History.
Fluorinated water.
Yeah, as a dentist, I'm sure you promote this kind
of. Actually, considered one of the miracle drugs of all time.
Really?
It's affected so many people.
Interesting. I don't even know how they fluorinate. How do they do that? Just
what?
How do they put that stuff in?
I mean, so it's like one part per million.
Nice.
In drinking water, and you reduce decay like 70% like
sour. Interesting. Anything else? Any other?
This guy's not a John Bircher.
Now what?
John Bircher.
What's that?
Yeah. Is that like communist nuts? Fluorinated water, communist.
I don't go back that far.
Farming.
Good, farming. What else?
Synthetic chemistry.
Assembly line. That's huge. Okay. Let's stop. We'll pause right here. These are great innovations. You know, it's amazing hearing all of the things that were mentioned for the last 25 years and all the things that were mentioned over history, you know, in the longer scale of time. There's one common denominator that pretty much runs through all of the things that were mentioned. And that is that they're all innovations. They're all creative ideas, things that did not exist before they existed. Now, I know that sounds like an obvious thing. You know, before vaccines or vaccination, it didn't exist. Okay, but think about the things that we consider to be like big, things that change the world. Those are things that kind of came out of nowhere. Things that were innovative, things that were created. So when we talk about creativity, let's understand that creativity is what makes the world go round. Now, speaking of going round, somebody mentioned wheel. I heard wheel before. I don't know if it was mentioned publicly, but I heard wheel. So oftentimes people will say, you know, the biggest innovation of all time was the wheel. I don't know if you know this. The wheel goes back many, many, it's like 5,000 years. It goes back a long time. When the folks that came from the old world came over to the new world in the 15th century, in the 1400s, the natives of the new world did not have the wheel. So they built incredible cities. They built temples. They had tools that they made. And they were still schlepping everything on their backs. Or they had two poles. And they were dragging things on the ground. They didn't have the wheel. Now, it sounds like impossible. So you could say that, well, they just weren't smart. But they were smart. They were very smart. They built amazing things otherwise. They didn't have the wheel. No one came up with it, or no one brought it or introduced it where they were. So you see how you can have a problem that has a solution, but if you can't see creatively, you're stuck in the problem. This is where creativity plays a huge role in the world, in advancement. So creativity means seeing something that no one's ever seen before. Developing something that no one's ever developed before, changing something that no one's ever changed before. Thinking about something in a way that no one's ever thought about before. But creativity is even a step further. Because sometimes creativity means that you do the exact opposite of what would make sense to do. Vaccination is the perfect example. You're taking deadly germs, and what are you doing with them? No. We're going to put them into you. You kill them first. All right. Don't get technical, Dr. Maxey. Or the concept of an engine. So you push down to go up. Or the concept of paper money. Let me exchange this bag of gold for a piece of paper. Makes no sense. So not only is creativity creative and innovative, but oftentimes it goes against what would make sense. So if you're thinking about a problem or thinking about an issue in a linear way, in staying inside the parameters of the discussion, this new idea, this creative idea, would almost be contradictory, counterintuitive, that's a good word, counterintuitive to the way you're thinking about it. The iPhone. I was checking my notes because I knew I wrote more examples. Did anyone mention the iPhone?
Oh, yeah.
The iPhone. I'm not that young. In other words, I was around 2007 when the iPhone was first announced. And I migrated. I used to have a Nokia, one of those candy bar phones. Remember those? Do 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 do. Was that the Nokia one?
Yeah, that was it.
I think it was Nokia. So I had the Nokia. Remember Snake? Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. And then I had, what did I have? I had this weird phone. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Then I got a BlackBerry. By raise of hand, who owned at some point in their lives a BlackBerry? Okay, so about maybe a little bit more than half of you own the BlackBerry. Who knows someone who owned the BlackBerry? Everybody? Is it safe to say everybody? Okay, fine. So everyone either owned the BlackBerry or knew someone that owned the BlackBerry. I was around in 2007. There was two things that you said about BlackBerry. What were they? Number one?
BlackBerry.
Yes. Okay, so people were addicted to them. By the way, it's not like people are less addicted to their iPhones or Android devices. It's the same thing, if not more. Fine. But that was the beginning of it. What else? What was like the Milo? What was so amazing about BlackBerry? Two things. Number one,
keyboard.
The keyboard. Number two, what were they famous for? Security, right? They had very secure emails and whatever, their encryption. I didn't want to focus on B. I only said two because I thought maybe somebody would mention that. But if no one mentioned it, forget I said that. Let's focus on number one, the keyboard. So Apple, Steve Jobs gets on stage and he says, I got something in my pocket. I don't know if this was the one. Maybe that was the iPod. Whatever. I have something that's going to change everything. What is it? The iPhone. Okay. What does it look like? No keyboard. A piece of glass with metal. You know what BlackBerry said?
Ha ha.
Ha ha. They literally said ha ha. And I quote, ha, comma, ha. End quote. This is what they said. Look back. Read the old articles. They were laughing. Oh, iPhone, ha, sure. First of all, they had the market. They had everything cornered. Plus, everyone loved the keyboard. Who's going to type by hitting a glass screen? You're going to break the screen, you're going to break your fingers, you're not going to be able to type accurately. Everyone loved the keyboard for the accuracy. So now it's almost 10 years later. So who has the last laugh?
Apple.
Reminds me of what was seen once scrawled in a subway in New York, subway station in New York. A quote, God is dead, Nietzsche. Next to it, Nietzsche is dead, God. So Apple and the Apple movement had the last laugh. It took a company to look at what everyone was doing and saying to say, y'all are doing it wrong. Y'all doing it wrong. You don't know it yet, but you're doing it wrong. This is going to be the right way to do it. And you'll see. and everyone saw, and they've been proven to be correct. Doesn't mean that we don't kvetch, or some people don't kvetch about not having a physical keyboard. Doesn't mean that people don't buy phones with a physical keyboard. Of course, people love their physical keyboards, and that's okay. But the point is that on a large scale, Apple revolutionized technology in the phone because they innovated this idea. By the way, I use an Android. So I'm not getting into the whole, well, did Apple invent it? Did who invented it? Doesn't matter. I mean the iPhone as a movement, not as a particular thing. Even though, I remember the BlackBerry days. You could either buy the one with the small screen that had a decent camera, or buy the one with the big screen that didn't have a good camera. They always held something back. And the iPhone came out and said, we're going to give you everything. Everything the best. And we're going to create a form factor that we can always update. There's one button. The phone will never be obsolete, theoretically. Because it's just... No. What? Hold until next year. No, but I mean, theoretically, you can always change the software. You can make it look different. You can make it act different, behave differently, as long as you have the hardware. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. But it took people, it took creators, innovators, to think differently, which happens to be the motto, the slogan of Apple, think different, right? It took people to think differently to really innovate a certain space and a segment in the market. Make sense? Okay. The truth is, one more thing just because I love speaking about this stuff. Has anybody seen videos of what goes on in Amazon warehouses today?
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yes.
What is that?
It's the robots.
Yeah. So it's amazing. If you've never seen it, you have to check it out. It's on. I've never seen anything like this. You would think, hi girl, you would think that if you know you work in a warehouse and somebody orders something, so they have them stocked on shelves, you would think that you have workers going and walking over to a shelf and picking the products, picking the items off the shelf, and then putting it into a box. It's not how it works. Everything is stocked on like shelves that are movable. And then you have robots to come over, pick up the whole shelf, and move it to the person, and it tells them how big of a box to create. They make a box, but it tells them exactly how big of a box to make. And then it tells them which items to pull. So that person stays at their station and just pulls the stuff, makes the box. They say that when you pick up, this is what I heard, when you pick up the Amazon package at your door and pick it up and bring it into your house, put it down on the table, take out a knife or a scissors or a key and open it up, you've touched that box longer than any human being at Amazon ever touched it. They spend under 30 seconds touching human interaction with the stuff before it's put into a box. Now, of course, the UPS is handling it or USPS is handling it, etc. So there's more human touch. But at Amazon itself, you touch it more from the time it reaches your time you pick it up, put it down, and open it up than it was touched at Amazon. The point is, it takes the assembly line. Instead of people moving around, have the product move around. Innovation. Creativity. It's not just for the marketplace. It's not just for the world. It's for you and I. We each have goals. We all have goals. In lesson one, we try to establish what they are for ourselves. And when I asked at lesson one, at the first class, like, what are some of your goals? What are you trying to achieve? What would you like to achieve? So some of the things that were mentioned were greater success in relationships, friendships, parenting, business, philanthropy. These are some of the ideas that were mentioned. We all have goals, and there are challenges that stand in the way of those goals. So yeah, you need a success mindset. You need to be able to see the success that you want to achieve. But you also need to sometimes think creatively in order to achieve those goals. Because the path between you and your goal will oftentimes be filled with barriers. If you don't know how to navigate, how to jump, or how to figure out a way to look at this where there is no obstacle in the first place, if we can't do that, we're not going to be able to achieve our goals. So let's give a few scenarios. You have somebody, we'll call her Lucy. Lucy. Wasn't Lucy in the cartoon Peanuts? Okay, so you have Lucy. All she wants to do is kick a football. I'm joking. Lucy, was she the one that kicked the football?
No.
Charlie Brown, she pulled it away? All right. We'll stick to the actual scenario. Lucy, she has a job that pays the bills. It's a comfortable job, but she is uninspired. She's an accountant, but her real passion is in social media and marketing. That's what she wants to do. So she's looking for some work, and she can't find, and she has a few interviews, but it's the pay is not there, the commute's longer than she would like, maybe the people aren't as nice as the people where she's working, and so now she doesn't know what to do. Should she leave her job and then explore? Should she stay and keep on looking? That would be a standard, linear way of thinking. What's a creative way of thinking? What else? If you were Lucy, and you, huh? Okay, that's one thing. But she kind of likes where she works. What might be a creative solution here?
Ask for a transfer inside of her.
What if that position doesn't exist?
Make it.
Good. Write up a proposal and say, hey, let's do an in-house. Let's create an in-house marketing, social media wing, department, whatever, and I'll be in charge of it. And that's it. You see, oftentimes we have goals, we have ideas. This is what we want in our professional career. But we can't get there. Between us and that goal, it's not doable. Unless you think outside the box. So creative thinking is huge in achieving our goals. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She would take a 20% pay cut, but do this, but reach the same goals if she only had to work 4 days a week instead of 5 days a week.
Nice. So she creatively restructured her arrangement.
The employer,
right?
Because they didn't lose any production, and they paid less.
And they got to pay her less, and she got to work what she wanted to do in another.
Make more money.
There you go. You see, that's a way of creative thinking. Another example. Let's say there's a family that once a week they get together for a family dinner. I'm not talking about Shabbat, and you'll see why soon. In addition to Shabbat, there's another family dinner that they have. But as the kids get older, Sunday night, as the kids get older, there's more stuff, and they're less interested, and they begin, like, you know, spending less time at the table, and the parents are frustrated. These are values. This is very important. This is what we want. So you would imagine that the average way to think about it would be, okay, so how can we maybe make the food better? Or incentivize, if you come to all the dinners and stay for 30 minutes, then you get, you know, whatever it is, a bigger Hanukkah gift. We'll pay you to come to this family dinner. Or maybe it works the other way. Maybe some consequences. Consequences is a negative thing, but maybe some consequences for not showing up to the thing. So there's different ways to look at it. I think that should be. But a creative way, what would be a creative way of addressing this challenge?
Have a portable dinner. One time at one house.
Exactly. Take the dinner to go. Do an activity. Do something fun. Instead of having it around the table, if the core objective is that the family should get together, so get together for an activity, for an outing, for something else. That's why I said not Shabbat, because Shabbat should really be Shabbat. But the other dinner can maybe be a to-go or some other context that's fun. I'll give you one more example. So imagine you have kids that are grown up, maybe they have their own kids, and it's approaching Passover time, and all you want is for your kids to celebrate Passover, to come home for the holidays. And so you call your kids, and what do they tell you? Nah, we're busy, the kids are too far, we can't travel. So now what? So you're stuck. What are your options? Your kid said no. What are your options now?
Go to them.
Go to them. But what if it's too hard for you?
Go to a passive
hotel. Live the good life. Okay, but again, this is all kind of like still in the box thinking. So you can go to them, or maybe you can do it every few years, you know, make a deal. Every 3 years, they come to you. Okay. I want to show you another solution that's a bit creative, a bit more creative. Is this the solution? What do you have there? Yeah, hold on one second. Let's see what the volume is like here. Okay, let's try this out.
Yeah.
matzo ball soup without matzo balls.
Your cholesterol.
Cholesterol is miserable. I'm tired. It's over. That's it. We're getting a divorce. Call your brother. Tell him.
Papa, don't do anything. Do you hear me? Do not move.
David here.
Hi, David. It's Rachel. Papa is talking about divorcing Mama.
Hi, David.
Papa, is this true?
It's true. Your mother's driving with sugar. It's finished. We're over. We're getting a divorce.
Papa, what do you mean? I gotta call Mama.
No, don't call Mama. I haven't told her yet.
David? Papa, do not go anywhere. We are coming with the kids. Do not move. Do you hear me?
Well, this isn't nice.
It's done. They're all coming for Passover. We're even going to pay their own airfare.
But that's deceitful.
Yes, it is. So we don't promote that. However, this is what creative thinking can do for you. Listen. The above film was not condoned or produced by Chabad in Town or its subsidiaries. The point is that creative thinking doesn't only help get emails sent faster or other, you know, or people live healthier. It also helps us achieve our goals. Okay. So creativity is very, very important. The question is like this. The question is, what is creativity exactly and how does it work? So let's begin with some texts because we haven't yet cracked open the book. Let's begin with, hey, no worries, you're good. Let's begin with, oh, do you want to take a copy on the way? There you go. Sure. Let's begin with text number one. Text 1A, actually, which is found on page, who's got the page?
75.
Thank you. Page 75. Okay, the first mention of creativity in the Bible. What's the first mention of creativity in the Torah? The very first verse. Josh, please read this one. Text 1A, page 75.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
I will tell you, this is not the opening not only the opening verse of Torah, it's actually the first mention of baseball in the Bible. In the big inning. I'm glad we didn't serve any tomatoes. I would be ducking. All right. Okay. Good. Text 1b. So let's look at what the Radak, Rabbi David Kimchi, says about the word bara, which means create. Please continue, Josh. 1b.
The term creation always means the making of something new, bringing it forth into existence from nothing.
The Radak says, Radak, Rabbi David Kimchi, Radak. The Radak says that what is bria, bara, what is create? It means something new that didn't exist before. This is the definition of creativity. Creativity means innovation. In the Hebrew, it's hitchadshut. It means making something new, something that didn't exist previously. If you take something that existed and you modify it, it's nice, but it's not new. New means like creation of heaven and earth. There was no heaven and earth before heaven and earth. It's interesting. The Ramban, Nachmanides, says that at the first moment of creation, what was created? The very substance from which everything else would develop, or maybe using scientific terminology, would evolve. But that stuff had to come from somewhere. It didn't just exist. So the first moment, the first instance of creation is the first stuff that's coming from a reality that wasn't any stuff beforehand. So this is the Jewish understanding of creation, of origin, and really of creativity. Creativity means something is coming from nothing. This is true in the realm of ideas as well. In ideas, ideas change the world, right? I mean, ideas are what changes the world. An idea for a wheel, idea for fire. I mean, these are all products or things, but they're all ideas. They begin with ideas. So ideas change the world. Ideas, really innovative ideas, are coming from quote unquote nothing. They didn't exist before. But that's not exactly true. We have to qualify that. An innovative idea, as new as it is built on some prior knowledge or information. Take a look at text number 2. Marnie, please read this one. Talmud, 76.
It is not possible there be a session in the study hall without an innovation.
So the Talmud says it's not possible to be in the Beit Medrash, to be in the house of study, and not to come up with something new, something innovative. What that means is it's not that there aren't previous ideas, but that the previous ideas set the stage for new ideas that are not like the previous ideas. But you need to have previous ideas. So take a look at text number 3. This is Robert J. Sternberg writing about creativity and about how ideas are created. Very fascinating stuff. 77, Melanie.
On the other hand, one needs to know enough about a field to move it forward. One cannot move beyond where a field is if one does not know where it is. On the other hand, knowledge about a field can result in a closed and entrenched perspective, resulting in a person not moving beyond the way in which he or she has seen problems in the past. Thus, one needs to decide to use one's past knowledge, but also decide not to let the knowledge become a hindrance rather than a help.
So here we have the paradox of creativity. On the one hand, creativity is based on some knowledge in that field. Right? It's not like Steve Jobs and Johnny, what's his name? Johnny Ive? Is that his name? The guy at Apple? Yeah? Ive? Is it Ives or Ive? Ive? Whatever. It's not like they don't have experience in development technology, right? They have all this stuff. They have experience. Nonetheless, so on the one hand, you have to know something about, you have to have knowledge. On the other hand, if you get stuck in your previous knowledge, you won't be able to innovate. That's where BlackBerry, that was their fatal mistake. So they failed to innovate. They said, well, we figured it out. We're the best. We've got it covered. We've got it solved. We have the market. We don't need to innovate. We're good. You're good for a short amount of time. We'll see who's... Yeah. And now you're not good, right? I mean, they're...
Same was true of Eastman Kodak. Same story.
Yeah. And AOL to a certain extent before then. And who else? What other big companies, technology? Remember Netscape? They used to be a player.
Polaroid.
Yahoo. Polaroid's coming back now, though. It's like hipster. It's like, oh.
But Yahoo still has pieces of it.
You know, listen, all of these companies are still around and still doing good things. No, yeah, some of them are still around and doing good things. BlackBerry is gone. The point is that your previous knowledge can be helpful. It can be the best thing. It can be the worst thing to creativity. It's the best thing because it provides a good foundation, but it's the worst thing if you can't break away from it. So what really has to happen for creative ideas, what really has to happen is you have to have a foundation of knowledge, something that you know, but then you have to have the willingness to let go of that. So what that means is it's a process that's known in Kabbalah as Ayin Be'emtza. Here's what it means. To go from one, we're going to use Kabbalistic terminology first, and then I'll talk in English. It says to go from a yesh to a yesh, there must be an ayin be'emtza. Which means if you want to go from a something to another something, radically different, there has to be nothing in between. Let me give you a few examples. Walking. You're standing in one place and you want to be in a different place. What do you need to do? Well, what does it mean to move? You're stable. You're stable. And you want to be over here stable. So you create a situation of instability. You lift up a foot, lift up a leg. That's very unstable. That's very unstable. Relative to standing with 2 feet, lifting up one leg, very unstable. And then moving it and needing to put it down and then quickly, right? Like slow-mo walking here for the demonstration. To pick up another one and move, I mean, just ask a kid. How frightening is that for a child, perhaps? It could be, right? I don't know. I never asked my kids, is it frightening? But it's got to be scary. You're lifting up a leg. You're trying to balance. It's hectic. This is walking. To go from one yesh, one status, to a radically different status, there has to be an ayin. So what this means in philosophical terms is, To go from one thing to another, there has to be a disintegration of self in between. Let's talk about planting. You put a seed in the ground because you want a tree to grow. What has to happen to the seed?
It has to
disintegrate. It has to rot. It has to become part of the earth. It has to lose its identity. Imagine if your seed said no. It's very protective of itself. It said no, don't touch me. I'm staying a seed. Guess what? It'll stay a seed. So my friend Rabbi Chase Taub, you know Rabbi Taub? Some of you guys know him. He's been here before. He's amazing.
If you want to be something incomparably greater than you've ever been, then you have to lose everything that you have. And the metaphor for that is the seed. Take a seed. The seed is meant to become a tree. That's what its destiny is. But if the seed doesn't want to stop being a seed, just wants to become bigger and bigger of a seed, what's going to happen? You could have a seed that is 1,000 times bigger. You have a seed that's 1,000,000 times bigger than what it started as. What are you going to get? You're going to get a big, giant seed. The only way that seed's going to become a tree is you put it in the ground and bury it alive, and it starts to rot and decompose. And when it loses all semblance of its old structure, when it's completely wasted, you know, you had a perfectly good seed, and a bird could eat it, I suppose. I mean, it has its own value. And then you throw it in the dirt, you throw it away, it comes ruined. And then, when it's completely broken down, it becomes a tree. So there's a saying that when you're down to nothing, God's up to something. If you want to become something incomparably greater, if you want to be comparably greater, you want to matriculate, if you want to go from level 1 to 10, or 10 to 100, or even 1 to 1,000,000, then you can just build upon what you've had. But if you're ready to be completely reinvented, to be something completely new, that only happens when you let go of everything you've ever been.
Make sense? ...90 seconds of wisdom right there. That's the point. To go from one yesh to another yesh, ayin be'emtza. It's one of the most important things you'll ever learn, that a person will ever really embrace. It's nothing about learning, it's about really embracing. To become something radically greater or different, have to let go of what you have. So when it comes to knowledge and ideas, if you hold on to your ideas, we make the best phone. This is how it looks. You hold on to that idea, great. The best BlackBerry in the world, that's great. You're out of business. It takes the courage to let go of what you got to really create, develop, find something new. Does this make sense? This is where creativity is. Okay, so this is true in walking and planting, and it's true in Torah. Oftentimes, this is just parenthetical, it's a plug for Torah study, and really how to study Torah. You see, Torah is unlike human wisdom, because we believe it's divine wisdom. Divine wisdom and human wisdom are not the same thing. One is man-made, one is divinely originating. And so to study Torah in a correct way means that you forget all preconceptions. You forget everything that you know. Not that you become unknowing, but that you're able to let go of all preconceptions and be open to the wisdom of the Torah. It's a very difficult thing, because we all come in with our biases and our perspectives and our slantings of the way we see things. But to measure, to study Torah in a pure way means to let go. To let go. This is true in creativity. You're assessing a problem. You want to come up with a creative solution. Here's the thing. Keep on looking at it the way you've been looking at it. Not going to get to a creative solution. You'll get maybe to a solution, but it's not going to be creative. Creativity demands letting go, which is why Judaism has a unique perspective on who has creativity. If I walk into a room and I ask the people there, raise your hand if you think you're very creative. How many people you think will raise their hand? You think? I don't think so. I don't think so. Okay. I don't think most people will raise their hand. First of all, in general, I think people don't like raising their hand anyway. So that's a thing, you know, raising my hand. Next thing you know, you're stuck with a timeshare somewhere. So we don't want to... Everyone's like, last time I raised my hand, I now own this thing in Orlando. I have nothing to do with it, and I don't know. Right? So we don't want... So everyone's wary about the hands going up. Right? Maybe there's a painting that was being auctioned next door, and somebody's looking through a window, sold, and that's it. At this point, there's a lien on the house. So we don't want to raise hands. But I think even without raising the hand, if I... Asking people, are you creative? People often think that, no, I'm not creative. You know, who's creative? Oh, that unique artist, that once-in-lifetime artist, musician, you know, performer, they're creative. Me? Yeah, I'm just a simple person. I'm not creative. We rob, if that's our thinking, we rob ourselves of the ability to navigate difficult situations. Because we say, well, I can't get out of this. I'm stuck. I'm stuck. I can't get out of it because I'm not creative. So here's the powerful teaching. What is creativity?
Taking something from nothing.
And what does that mean? Creativity, we just defined, is letting go of what you know. Who has that ability?
Humans.
Everybody. Everybody. It's, you see where we're going with this? If you think creativity means being able to come up with an amazing idea, that's not the Jewish definition of creativity. The definition of creativity, at least the initial definition of creativity, is the courage to forget everything you know, the courage to drop what you know, the courage to let go of what you're holding on to. Can you let go? Everyone can let go. It's difficult to let go. But if you tell me I need to come up with a solution to the world's problem of whatever, oh, I can't come up with it, I'm not a scientist. But if you tell a person, just let go. Can you let go? It's not easy. But can you let go? That basic definition of creativity? I can let go. Perfect. Then you have what it takes to be creative. Creativity, the yesh, the creative innovation that comes at the end of the creative process, is predicated on the ayin be'emtza, the letting go or the disintegration in the middle. If you can let go in the middle, if you can let go, you can innovate at the end. That's the key idea. We have a biblical source for this as well. Text, numbers. Is this making sense?
Okay.
Like that. If you threw it, see, you're not letting go. Letting go means, in whatever area you're talking about, the ability to, if it's an idea or a problem, it's to completely let go of the way that you're looking at the problem. To think from a complete, not even to think from a different perspective. The ability to let go of the paradigm within which you look at things. It's the courage to take off the lenses, take off the glasses that you're looking at the world through, take them away, discard them, and look at things from a fresh perspective. It's the ability that we have to really listen to someone else's point in a conversation. It's so beneficial for a human being. And for creativity, it's essential. Because wherever we are, that's the first yesh. That's the first being or is. You want to get to a radically different status? Ayin be'emsa, letting go. If you can let go, everyone can let go. It's not easy. Again, if we think of creativity as coming up with the amazing thing, oh, I can't do that. If we think of it as letting go, which creates the fertile ground for that tree to grow, it's basically you and I being that seed that says, maybe the first statement that we tell ourselves, Melly, maybe this is going to help. Maybe the first step to letting go is telling ourselves, I don't know. I don't know. Being able to embrace that. I don't know. I don't have, in my current state, I don't have the answers. I don't know. That's making myself vulnerable, breaking myself open, and will hopefully allow myself to look at things from a different perspective. Because everything that I'm, where I'm at, is not going to solve the problem yet.
Criticism and
Not directly. We're going to deal with that in subsequent lessons. It's all related. It's all in pursuing something, the ability to stick to where you need to go and persevere and withstand the obstacles. Lesson 6 deals a lot with that, with seeing something all the way to the end. But right now, we're focusing on creativity, innovation. And the key here is the ayin be'emtza. We're going to give other ways of understanding creativity, other ways of working the creative process soon. But the most important one is letting go of what you had. And I always say this. If you say what you said and you do what you did...
Forget what you got.
Hold on. If you think what you thought and you say what you said and you do what you did, you'll have what you had. That makes sense. If you want to have something different... Think different, say different, do different. Let go. Let go. It's the Ayin Be'emtza. Let's move on to the biblical source of this. Text number 6. A text that we've done before. Alana, please read this one. Text 6, page 79.
God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them.
And the question we asked last week, and all the commentators asked, we're going to have a different answer, by the way. The question that we asked is, what does it mean that the human being is created in the divine image? What kind of image does God have? God doesn't have an image. God is beyond images. Text number 7, the Medrash says something phenomenal. Bill, please read this one.
God says to the righteous, you are like me, just as I create worlds, so too do you.
And by the way, the righteous, v'ame kulam tzaddikim, we're all righteous, so God says to human beings, you are like me. Bless you. Tzugazan. Just like I create worlds, so too do you. What that means is we're meant to be in the divine image. Just like God creates from nothing. Obviously not from nothing. There was God before. It wasn't nothing. Nothing of the final product. No physical world before. So there was God, one yesh, one thing, and then another radically different thing. In the middle, there's ayin. There's nothing. Which we'll talk about soon what that is. Tohu vavohu. The Torah says what it was.
Chaos.
We'll get into chaos soon. But there's a void in between the two. So God says, I create, I want you to create. This is a mandate, it's a calling, it's a destiny for every human being. It's not just for those rare individuals that we may point at and say, oh, look, a creative genius. Oh, look, an amazing creative mind. No. Don't point. Embrace. You are creative. You have that creative potential inside of you. We all do. We're all creating the divine image. God creates. We're meant to create. Create worlds. When was the last time anyone created worlds? Right. What it means here is, be creative in your world. Be creative in your life, in your surroundings. When you have a problem, be able to look at things differently and find a creative solution. This is the calling of a human being. So, creativity for who? For everybody. Judaism liberates creativity. You don't have to go to a special school of the arts or whatever it is to be creative. It's literally the easiest thing. I say easiest thing. It's letting go of what you got. Okay, so that's who, the who of creativity. What's in my notes? That's why kids are so creative. Where do we see the kids are so creative? So a kid will look at cardboard.
They don't have anything to get stuck on.
Ah, that's the point. They don't get stuck. Kids will look at a cardboard box that you just ripped open from something and be like, oh, it's an airplane. And you're like, what? I'm about to recycle that. Or they'll look at a stick and start, you know, creating magic with their wand. Or what's my third example that I wrote? Oh, they'll look at a crate. Or any, like a pallet, you know, like those, like a pallet. And start performing. It's a stage. Kids are incredibly creative. You know why? They're not stuck in the definitions that we get stuck in. We get stuck in definitions. We say, well, this is what it is. It's what it is. We don't want to let go of the yesh. If you don't let go of the yesh, I'm sorry for using Hebrew, but this is the way it's going to be. Yesh means that which is. If you don't let go of that which is, that's what you're going to have. You'll have a you'll have garbage, a piece of cardboard that's going to be recycled. You'll have a stick out from the yard, and you'll have a pallet that, I don't know what you do with a big, huge pallet. Right? That's what you're going to have. If you look at things in the box and don't have the ability to let go of the definitions, you're stuck. Kids are not stuck. They don't know enough to get stuck. They don't take themselves seriously enough to get stuck. We're so sophisticated. We've got everything figured out, and so we're stuck. Our greatest strength is our greatest adversity. We're so smart. We're so calculated. We're so, you know, we're so incredibly sophisticated. Mazel tov. We're stuck. It takes a child to show us how to be creative, how to look at the world with fresh eyes. Don't define the world the way you see it initially. Ayin be'emtza. Be willing to let go and see the possibilities. Good. So let's break down the creative process even further. So we know now, if you want something new, you have to destroy what was. We use disintegrate, let go. Now I'm being a little bit more bold. Destroy what was to get something new. There's no other way. Now we know this. But how do you get from the absence, from the destruction, from the chaos, to the new idea, to the new whatever it is? Okay. Take a look at text number 9. Text number 9 comes from a book recently published by Gary Wexler. He's a professor at USC. And the title of his book is Sorry Millennials, We're Not Dead Yet, The Boomer Rebellion. I love that. I love that title. Gary Wexler, he's a really nice guy. I've met him before. Wonderful, wonderful fellow. Very smart also. So let's read text number 9. Stella, right?
Yes.
Are you up to it? Up to 9? Text 9?
All creative endeavors enter into an initial period of chaos. Creative people always face the doubt that comes with struggling to make sense out of chaos. But the good creative people who reach excellence are the ones who have the courage to dive right into the chaos and hold its tension. That ability to dive deeply and hold tension differentiates those who produce excellence and those who produce mediocrity.
Okay, so we're jumping to the next point of this, which is important. Let me explain what this text said. Thank you. By the way, you're welcome to join us anytime that you're back.
Thank you.
The doors are always we're always welcome. So text number 9, Gary Wexler is saying, if you want creativity, embrace the chaos. You know what embrace the chaos means? So gesund. When you don't know,
you're okay with not knowing.
You're okay. You're okay with that experience. Oftentimes in the creative process, when there are lots of ideas, but there's a lot that's unknown, you don't know where you're going to go, people get scared, and the first inclination is to grab onto whatever is floating nearby and say, well, that's what I was looking for. Perfect. Right in the nick of time, and you escape the chaos. Problem is, that will oftentimes not be the solution or the direction that you needed to be in. It was just the easy way out to avoid the tension. So in the creative, he teaches creativity and marketing at USC. So his idea, and he says that it's based on Torah and Judaism and this wisdom, and I believe him. His theory is, or his what he teaches his students, is that when you're in a creative, when you're part of a creative team, and you're in that creative dialogue and discussion, and there's lots of conflicting ideas and it seems chaotic, don't run to find the solution yet. Allow that conversation to happen. Stay in the tension. The undulating space. It says where things are kind of like chaotic and like waves, like bouncing around, and you don't have the clarity. From that space of chaos will come clarity if you let the process play out. Take a look at text number 10. Michelle, please read this one. Text 10 from Genesis. Oh, we're back to the beginning again.
In the created the heavens and the earth. The earth was chaos and emptiness, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered upon the waters. And God said, there shall be light. And there was light.
These three sentences are the three steps of the creative process. Yesh, Ayin, Yesh. Something, nothing, something. What's the first something? Well, kind of, sort of. Okay, kind of, sort of. Yay! Okay, I'll let it pass. Okay, I'll tell you. So, the first something is God. But part of that, you're right, part of that is the goal. You see, Rashi says, the translation here is the typical translation, but it's not necessarily the correct translation. Rashi, the most basic biblical commentary, Jewish biblical commentary, says that this is an incorrect translation. He says the way to translate this, I'll do the English because it says in Hebrew, is in the beginning of God's creation of heaven and earth, first there was, etc. You see the difference? Not in the beginning God created, but in the beginning of God's creation of heaven and earth, there was first chaos. Which means that in the beginning, what there is an idea, is a goal. So there's God and a goal. The goal is innovation. God says, I want something that doesn't yet exist. I want a physical world with physical people that are going to mess up. Well, he got that. He definitely got that. I don't know if he said the mess up part, but he may have, depending on which text you study in Kabbalah. Well, yeah, he gave it the choice. The question is if he meant for us not to or to make mistakes. I'm convinced the intention was to, because that's how we get higher. But that's another conversation. The point is, you have God and an idea, and then you have the end result. Verse 1 of the Bible is Yesh, the first being or the first state. The middle verse, the second verse, verse number 2 is the Ayin. It's the nothing, it's the chaos. There's chaos and emptiness. Chaos and emptiness. That's perfect. It's perfect. And then the third is the emergence of the new idea. And how is that depicted in every culture, every civilization, every cartoon or comic strip that's ever been created? When somebody has an idea, how is it represented? A light bulb going off. Boom. And there was light. You have an idea, you have a goal that you want to get to. The main part of the creative process is the not knowing, is the chaos, is the trying to. Right? And then you have the light that goes off and you have the solution. The new entity. Yesh, Ayin, Yesh.
Is that where the bulb idea came from?
I think it's intuitive. I don't know if anybody studied it and said, well, we're going to depict it to follow verse 3 of Genesis 1. I think it's intuitive. It's almost like we all know that that's what it feels like, looks like, should be depicted like. I think it's natural for all of us.
But before there was a light bulb, what did they do?
That's hilarious. I always say that we've come full circle in history with communication. Like back in the caves, back like in ancient times, they used to communicate with hieroglyphics, with like pictures. And then we developed like language and sophistication. And now we're back to emojis. Yeah. Now we're back to like oh, cocktail glass, airplane, headphones, pillow, a beach, right? And like, oh, cool, you're going on vacation. Have a good flight. I mean, like, we already know. Yeah, that's it. We're good. It's like the same thing, like buffalo, spear, bonfire, you know. Yeah, oh, you had a good dinner. Nice. I mean, that's pretty much the same thing. Anyway, this is the creative process. Yesh to yesh, ayin be'emtza. You need disintegration. You need to lose everything in the middle. And it's chaotic in the middle because you don't have. Oh, it's so important. Let's talk about the tension. Let's talk about the tension a little bit more. The way we're going to do this is we have 23 minutes. It's good. It's good 23 minutes. We have 23 minutes to do the following. We're going to put some of these ideas into practice. And when I say some of these ideas, we're about to do a creativity workshop. We're going to work together. First I'll tell you how we're going to physically divide the space, and then I'll tell you what we're going to do. we're going to divide this entire this room into four groups. The groups are going to be 1, 2, 3, 4. So what you're going to do once we break out into the activity is anyone who's sitting in the middle, so take your chairs and pull them around, pull them out. I know it's a little bit tough. I'll help, whatever. Pull them out, put the tables together, and sit around the table. Okay? So that's the physical breakdown. Everyone's going to get an easel and markers. These easels are cool. They rip off and they're post-it, so you can stick it up on the wall. What we're going to do here is come up with something creative and innovative that's never been that no one's ever thought of before. But I'm going to give you a context. The context is the upcoming holiday of Hanukkah. Hanukkah is coming up. And there have been many creative things, many interesting things that have been done in the celebration, in the observance, in the publicity or whatever of Hanukkah. But there are things that haven't been done. They haven't been done because no one ever thought of them. So your task, if you choose to accept it, is to think about, to discuss, debate, come up with a creative idea or two about Hanukkah. One idea. And here's the method we're going to follow. We're going to follow Gary Wexler's method. He has 7 steps to achieving success, which we'll talk about soon. But first, I actually want to play one more video, a video to get the juices flowing, get the excitement going. One second. Let's do this. Hold on. Stay with me. Stay with me. All these slides. I'm sure someone enjoys them somewhere. Okay.
40,000 soldiers with ferocious war elephants come knocking on your door, demanding that you surrender your soul, you either yield or innovate quickly. Over 2 millennia ago, Judah the Maccabee chose the latter option. The Maccabees refused to exchange Judaism for Hellenism and came up with some creative solutions instead. Like inventing the dreidel game to disguise the outlawed study of Torah. Like rewriting battle strategy to outsmart the Greek army's ambush tactics. Or like fashioning a new temple menorah out of alternative materials due to a dearth of precious metals. Well, we won that struggle. And to thank God for our victory, our sages invented the Hanukkah menorah, charging us with a mission to spread the light and the spirit of Hanukkah. But the creativity never stopped flowing. And some 2,000 years down the line, Chabad took up the challenge of spreading the light in every place and by all possible means. Here, take a look at this.
If I wrote that script, I would say, why don't you give it a spin? But that's just me. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Remember, for the creative process, you have to know where you're going. So the first thing, you can do two things. We do more than two things. But I would say the outline should be either create a Hanukkah experience, program, like, or a product. Come up with an idea for a program, /experience or a Hanukkah product that people will enjoy, use, whatever. So you're going to go from, you know, whatever you know to something new. You need that emptiness or that chaos, that tension in the middle. So here's how it works. Step one is set your goal. What is it that you want to do? Decide. Is it a product? Is it an experience? Is it for a community? Is it for individuals in their homes? What is it? What's the general direction that you want to take? Then, and you're going to write that down, we call that points of focus. Those are big points of focus, maybe one, two, or three ideas that are the big, unmoving things that you want to work toward. You'll write that on page one of the easel pad. Okay, so points of focus right here. Take that off. You could put it down on the table. You could stick it up on the wall somewhere, whatever. The next thing you're going to do is draw a box. You draw a nice big box, and in that box, you're going to put all of the themes of Hanukkah that you know. Anything associated with the holiday, with the Festival of Lights, put in. It's the history, the culture, all different ideas. And then begin discussing the ideas and how they relate to where you want to go. And you'll see some ideas work, some ideas don't work, some are contradictory, some are neither here nor there. But as you discuss, as you throw around these ideas and as you feel kind of the not knowing, clarity will emerge. Okay, so here are the seven steps in short. Number one, set your point of focus. Your goal is what you want to accomplish. Step two, draw a big box where the ideas are going to go. Step three, fill the box with as many pieces of information, threads about Hanukkah that you can think of. Stir the threads together. Discuss them. That's step four. Stir all the threads together. Step five, search for commonalities amongst the threads and tie together with your points of focus. Discuss, debate. Step six is create your Hanukkah experience or product. Number seven, you're going to sell it to others. Okay, at this point, we have about 15 minutes left, which is fine. Because although Rome wasn't built in a day, but ancient Greece was destroyed. No, it wasn't a day either. But we can get some creativity going in the next 15 minutes or so. So, move out the chairs. If you need a reminder or more guidance as far as how to do this, please ask. Otherwise, grab an easel. Let's reset the chairs, reset the room, and let's get this creativity rolling. All right, this is for you guys.
I'm going to go home. I have a 7:30 flight tomorrow.
Okay. Oh, where are you going?
Boston.
Safe travels.
Thank you.
Safe travels. Okay. Here we go. All right, perfect. Oh, look at this. You guys are ready for anything. All right, here's your easel. Remember, write your points of focus. Points of focus should be big. A few points, this is where you want to go. And then, after that, your threads in a box. You guys have markers? You guys have markers? Okay. You guys are a little bit tight over here. Okay, we can do this. Oh, you want to all sit together?
Yeah, we're just going to turn around.
Hey, that's cool. That works. All right, here's some markers. And you guys. Okay, markers. Here you go. All right. Pleasure. We'll see you soon. Okay, check it out. If anybody needs a reminder, the seven steps are up on the board. Okay, this is the undulating space. Points of focus, the box with the threads. Points of focus. Do you want like a new experience of Hanukkah or like a dreidel, moon bounce thing? Like, I mean, that's already been created. A product or an event, exactly. So you guys have to choose. You guys have to choose something. How's it going so far? Nice. Oh, good. These are good so far. All right. Then remember, you got to create the box and throw all the information in, and then we're going to stir it around. Good stuff.
Thank you. Do you want to see homes with, you know, lighting candles as you light the giant menorah?
If I speak to your theme park idea, because in my mind it looks like a theme park, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But now wait a minute, we still don't have things like, we don't have donuts anywhere.
Well, no, what I'm saying is so when you get out the whole deal. So
if there's no food, it doesn't count. Forget about it.
Then you can get out, and then you can. So this is how you're going to innovate meal. You can.
Then you go to the other group and eat.
Yeah, so you have like little potatoes and you have like peas and your applesauce and your whatever else you're going to eat.
Start falling.
There you go.
Well, wait a minute. You got to go through something maybe where you've got.
Human menorah? I love that.
Wait a minute. All right, so how did we go from here, this to there? Though, tell us again. So there's the people when they finish the ride.
So when they finish the ride, they get out of the dreidel cars, and they become part of the menorah, like the menorah base.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay, I see. Okay, so people menorah, and then the
how's it going? Drone. Nice.
We need to copyright this quickly.
You got something good? I'm going to ask you to share, though, but it's a safe space. Ooh, apps? Ooh, I like this. This is good. Ooh, it's great. Got it? Perfect. Hey, you guys have time to create something else.
I know, right?
Got like another 2 minutes.
Oh my God, that was so much fun. That was like amazing.
Oh, we have time. We can still implement. If it doesn't involve like Chinese manufacturing, we can probably pull this off like in the next few weeks.
No, it's like a human.
I want to hear it. We're gonna hear these. Folks, 2 more minutes, and then I'll ask one person from each group to share the ideas.
That was so much fun, wasn't it? That was amazing.
Amazing.
so much fun.
Hey, a class in creativity. We're going to sit and listen all day.
Were you at the keynotes?
Yeah.
Also, I watched the keynote.
Nice.
Keynote of the keynote.
I actually wasn't at the banquet.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry.
I was doing a wedding.
There's 150 states now.
Saw that, yeah. The lone holdout.
Right.
Not anymore.
I wonder how many. I guess they have oil drilling or whatever.
Even if there's one. All right, folks, another 30 seconds. Sorry to be the bearer of time news.
How did you spell Ayin, by the way?
Ayin is with an aleph. No, with an aleph. Nothing, yeah, nothingness, yeah. The other Ayin is, yeah. Yesh, Ayin. Ayin Bemse, yeah, yeah. All right, folks, let's I want to hear the ideas. All right, everyone, turn back around if you don't mind. Let's hear some ideas. We're going to start from right to left, if that makes sense. Okay, so can we have a representative of, I guess we'll call you guys pods. Is that weird? It's not weird. Pod A, would you guys like to present? Greg, you presenting?
Yeah, so the idea is
Now, this is step number 7, is you have to sell it to the group, sell it to everybody. All right, go.
Giant menorah that's so big you can see it from.
No.
Oh yeah, well there's a whole. Okay, all right. Well, so there's a theme park.
Okay.
That basically the theme park takes you through the whole Hanukkah experience. There's like darkness to the light.
Nice.
Latkes, donuts.
Wait a minute, hold on. You need help.
All right, so the deal is on this thing is we're going to have a new experience for Hanukkah. And so what's going to happen is you and your family come to the venue and everybody gets in these really cool dreidel cars that spin and we go into a dark tunnel. And while we're riding through the tunnel with our spinning dreidel cars, we have flashes of light that show different pieces of the Maccabee story as we're riding through the tunnel. And so we get through the tunnel, and as we exit the tunnel, then we're in this outdoor section, and then we go through the next section that has like dangling donuts and latkes, and then we come to the very final end of the ride, and we get out, and the families, the people in the cars, become part of the menorah at the end of the ride because we are the candles bringing Hashem's light to the earth.
I love it. I love it. That's great. We'll get our engineers on this ASAP. We can turn this around.
All we need is a venture capitalist.
Yes. Yes. Just probably like, how much do we need? Like half a million, a million? Half a million. Hanukkah World. Oh, that's
right.
That's good.
All right. Hanukkah
World. That's good. I know a place. I don't know a place. We have to like build it. Well, we'll put it on top of Pond City Market. There's like some rooftop space over there. Let's think. Okay, good. This is great. Wait, the dangling donuts and latkes I think would be more interesting if you could not use your hands. Am I right here? 50% more interesting. 50% more interesting if you could not use your hands. If it had to be just like... Yes. Okay. All right, good. Pod B. What you guys got?
Okay, well, let me start up with our goals. We want to teach about the origin of the holiday. We want to get the message across of what our holiday means.
Good.
We want to feel the energy and the spirit of the holiday. And some of the things that we want to focus on, because we want to have this gorgeous big parade going down, well, I was going to say Kingston Pike, but it's the
East Peach Tree. Okay.
Peach Tree, oh, yeah.
So now we have floats and... we throw gelt out so everybody would know what the gelt has to do with the holiday. Even necklaces if we wanted to.
Nice.
We could have people on floats dressed with all the symbols of Hanukkah, like a dreidel costume, like a as a Maccabee, or Hannah, who was the mother of the seven boys.
Yeah.
And there'll be music going all the time, klezmer as well as Hanukkah songs.
Beautiful. Good stuff. Great. Good. Excellent. What do you guys have?
We came up with something unique, very much out of the box, and we invented a product, a Hanukkah drone, in every city basically, again, to identify the holiday and to let everybody know what Hanukkah is all about. It would have videos on it. It would also, every night, a new one would go out and would have new beams. So every night you would have new ones coming out with new lights. So the first night you'd have one light, and two nights, and three lights, and so on and so forth. And then you also could would have an app from your phone that could also would light up videos that will tell the story of Hanukkah as it went by your home. And it would also take pictures of you lighting candles in your own home. And it would display all different kinds of the Hanukkah story as well as the different symbols of Hanukkah as well. So you would have drones in every city and in different parts of the city as well throughout.
Beautiful. And an app. I like the app. The app is a really cool. That's very good. Goya. I think the app, that could be something developed like now. I mean, a drone needs, you know, engineering, whatever. But an app? Imagine a Hanukkah app. I mean, this is your idea.
Yeah.
Hanukkah app. Every night there's some new content. And it takes pictures and it posts maybe to Facebook, social media, Instagram. You lighting your menorah.
You can go on your current website because all you have to do is just have somebody update your page every day and you can make it a forward-facing app for the website.
Drone.
Drone.
Yeah.
We need the drone.
The app controls the drone.
The app controls the drone. Okay, I'm not discounting the drone. On the contrary, the drone is amazing.
Yeah.
This is good stuff.
The 2.0 would be, we didn't get that far, and that's really going another way, but you can do holograms of your family.
Ooh.
Send it across the country.
Oh, nice. All right. Beam me up. Beam me up, Judah Maccabee. I love that. I like that. Good. What you got?
Our points of interest are, our points of focus is bringing people together. Bringing people together, celebrate the holiday, and to educate people generation to generation.
Good.
And what Marty had suggested is that we do a play, not a play, a show with all live people.
Mm.
And that we would do a menorah, and each person would be the menorah. Each
and there
a
candle. And would be an arm of it. And
nice.
The shamans would be like the MC.
Nice.
Okay. And each person would have a this is not quite as high tech as everybody else's.
We like low tech also.
Okay. And they would have you see light bulbs that you can just fix or something, and each one would have a bulb. So as the shamans would tell part of the story, and then each other person would come up, and then and he'd have his light on, and then the next person would turn their light on and tell their part of the story, whether it's about the purpose of the menorahs, the purpose of the latkes.
Latkes, donuts,
nice.
Gels,
and this would be like a public event,
right,
to bring out, to educate, and to create that type of connection.
And
beautiful.
You have like a platform, and obviously the menorah would be tallest.
Right.
And then when the shamas pointed to one, then they would turn their light on and they would tell their shamas.
Nice. I love it. We need to find 8 similarly sized people for the rest and 1 really tall Jew for the middle. No, I know, I'm kidding. Yeah. This is great. I love it. This is great. Guys, you're amazing. This is great. The power of creativity harnessed for good. All right, folks, so what we learned tonight, let's just summarize quickly and then we'll close it out. What we learned tonight is that creativity is really a major key to success. To be successful oftentimes requires creativity in achieving your goals and overcoming obstacles. Creativity is needed for the greater good and greater furthering of humanity, but also for your personal good and furthering your own individual goals. The core of creativity from a Jewish perspective is getting to somewhere new from somewhere old, which requires ayin be'emtza, letting go of what you had to get something new. In that space, there's oftentimes chaos and tension. The more you're okay with not having something to hold on to, the more likely you are to find something incredible afterwards. If you need something to hold on to, then oftentimes you'll just get what you got, and it's not going to be that creative or innovative. If you're able to hold attention and be okay in the absence and the chaos, then indeed you'll be blessed with the light. May we all tap into our inner, innate, inherent reservoir of creativity. We all have it. We're all in the image of God. And may we create wonderful things in our lives and the lives of those around us. And who knows, maybe some of your Hanukkah innovations will show up at a community near you. Thank you.